One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Day, and very glad to see you here at the NTEB House Church Sunday service. You know, in your King James Bible, that old-fashioned word importunity appears in the Gospel of Luke in connection with one friend coming to another friend with an urgent request, only to have that request denied, but for fairly good reasons. Yet, the need is so great that the person asking the favor refuses to take no for an answer and continues to ask until resistance is finally worn away and the request is granted. Let me ask you, when's the last time that you came before the Lord with importunity in your prayer? Luke 11, verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, let's define some terms. Importunity is not coming before the Lord and demanding something. I cringe every time that I hear charismatic preachers talking about telling God to do this or do that, or talking about putting their boot on the devil's neck, and all that junk is just unbiblical foolishness. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines importunity as, quote, a pressing solicitation, an urgent request, application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency or pertinacity. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. Does that definition define your prayer life? Well, it should, because importunity is in your King James Bible as an example of how to get your prayers through with God. I didn't say how to get your prayers answered the way you want them answered. I said this is an example of how to get your prayers through with God. Have you ever looked to see the very next verse that comes after Luke 11:8, we're going to talk about today? It's the ask, seek, knock, triple threat combination that, according to the Lord, should come after a generous application of importunity. On today's Sunday service, I'd like to help you with a life hack for your prayer life that really works. Now, I understand. Now, we always talk about being dispensationally correct, and we talk about rightly dividing the scriptures. And I understand that my verse for today, Luke 11:8, is really a mostly kingdom age verse and doesn't necessarily apply as doctrine to the Bible believing Christian in the church age. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul says this, pray without ceasing. And that gets you very, very, very close to the definition of the word importunity. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what the Apostle Paul meant when he said those three little words, pray without ceasing, and then he puts a period after it, or the Holy Spirit did. And today I want to talk with you about your prayer life, about my prayer life, and I want to tell you something that radically changed how I pray and how I get my prayers through with the Lord on a daily basis. And I believe it's really, really going to help you today. We have a lot to pray about. Street preacher Marie in Philadelphia, she has a new baby cat. I guess we'd call that a kitten. And Marie says, I really need prayer. My baby girl cat is attacking me again. I'm trying to get her to the vet tomorrow, but not sure how I will be able to get her into the kettle. She may be constipated. This could affect my trip, and that's not good. So it's not really so much a prayer about a little baby kitten. Street preacher Marie is worried that she may not be able to attend the camp meeting that we're having in 5 days. Keep Marie and the baby cat in your prayers so that nothing will hinder Marie from coming down here and celebrating with the camp meeting. We have so much to pray about today. We have so much to talk about. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here for our Sunday service and the hundreds that will be listening live and the thousands that will listen in the archives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would feed the people today, Lord. Use me, Lord, but I'm nothing. Speak through me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're going to open up your word today. We're going to come before you in prayer today. And the Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, verse 16, pray without ceasing, verse 17, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, verse 18, verse 19, quench not the spirit, verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And then Paul says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Man, that's good preaching. That's preaching from the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 23. We're going to match that up today with Luke 11, 8. And Lord, I just pray that you meet with us today and give us something from your word that will help us, that will change us, that will draw us closer to you. For your glory, Lord, and for our good. And we thank you and praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I know when you save me, you filled me with your spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh precious Lord, be a light that others see. Your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee.
Amen. Empty me, Lord.
Shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, amen. Let me be more like you.
If you want to fill yourself up with the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to drain yourself of you.
Now when your light, Lord, is shining upon me, there's no hiding, it's wonderful. My neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, then all others will know. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with Thee? Now shine down upon me and fill me anew.
Amen,
in
amen.
Every way, Lord, let me be more like you. Shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like you.
Amen, amen. If you want to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to empty yourself of you. That's what needs to take place. That's what needs to happen. Today, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about importunity in your prayer. Importunity is a It is a constant, perpetual persistence, almost to the point of being annoying, is what it is. And we're going to be talking about importunity in your prayers today. You know, one of the verses that we talked about last year during a Sunday service from Matthew chapter 14, and those of you who attended that service know immediately what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 26. Matthew 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus. Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31, the last three words of 30, the first three words of 31, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. I put that on my refrigerator after that Sunday service that the Holy Spirit just dropped on us that morning. And what a blessed service that was. And that service did so much for me. Because I never looked at those two verses like that, with the last three words of verse 30 and the first three words of verse 31. It was like the Holy Spirit was shining a heavenly highlighter on those six words. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. When Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," it was a cry of desperation. It was the cry of a sinking man. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Some of you today may feel like you're sinking. Some of you today may feel like you're desperate. Some of you just may feel that your prayer life has gotten dry and dull, like just eating saltine crackers with nothing to wash it down with. Today, I want to see if I can give you a little heavenly life hack from the antiquated, outdated, dusty old King James Bible. And we're going to be looking at that word importunity. And I think it's going to be a blessing for you. Glad you're here today. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room. And if you are listening and would like to be in the chat room, but for whatever reason you can't find it, just go to ntebradio.com and you'll find it. When Jesus was sleeping with the apostles and they needed him, what did they do? They woke him up. They woke up the master.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night.
Amen, amen.
Because you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the master.
Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus. Amen.
Lift your voice. Lift your hands. It's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the master.
It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now.
Because you prayed all night.
Amen.
Because you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the master.
You're up there worried, but he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because
amen. Amen, Lord.
You held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries.
Amen. The first time we see the word prayer in your King James Bible is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And let's take a look at verses 25 through 28. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 25 through 28. King David is speaking, and he says, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Here it is. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath my servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." So the first time the word prayer is ever found in your King James Bible, it's in 2 Samuel 7, verse 27. And we see the word pray and prayer, and it's being spoken by King David. And if you read the entire passage, and we're going to come back here once the preaching starts, if you read the entire passage, David is coming before the Lord, and he is acknowledging, absolutely acknowledging to God, that he understands that God is holy and just and right and pure and higher than the heavens. And David, it reminds me a lot of Daniel chapter 9. And David just so beautifully sets the table for this prayer that he is about to pray. You know what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? If you want the peace of God in your heart and in your mind, so many people write to me and they say, I don't have any peace, brother. I don't have any peace. Isn't that what the Antichrist promises? Isn't that what the world promises? If you just take this pill, you'll have peace of mind. Do you have anxiety? Drink this drink. Take this pill. Chant these words. Go here, go there. But Paul tells you exactly how you can have not just peace, but the peace of God. And it's the type of peace that passes your ability to understand it. And it's a promise to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, meaning don't be full of care, don't be anxious. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how it works. So it's no coincidence to me, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and David, he's saying all this great stuff to God. And it's very, very similar to Philippians 4, 6, where Paul says, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about prayer. Very excited. Speaking of prayer, please keep our camp meeting in your prayers. And we are just about ready. This is the final week. Actually, today is the first day of camp meeting weekend. And it's going to start Friday. And we're going to have a live taping of The Soul Trap in the bookstore at 5:30. So we hope that you can make it, but if you can't make it, you're going to be able to see NTEB and The Soul Trap on YouTube in a live stream from 5:30 to 6:30, and Pastor Tillis has a way for you to call in your questions, And but we have so much going on in the bookstore on Friday. It's going to be fantastic. I promise it's going to be a blessing if you can make it from 2 to 5. We're going to have refreshments, a little bit of food, a little bit of drink, non-alcoholic, of course. And if you can make it, Camp Meeting Weekend starts Friday. And then, of course, the actual camp meeting on Saturday. If you haven't signed up, if you haven't registered, there is still time to do it. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the graphical link to register for the camp meeting. If you're one of those people who say that you would love to come, but finances are really tight, would you send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com? A number of people have donated a couple of dollars towards the registration fee for people who want to come, but maybe the money's tight. Gas is $4.50 a gallon. There's no there's no formula on the shelves. We have almost 10% inflation. I totally get it. But if the only thing that's stopping you from coming to the camp meeting is that you don't have the money to pay for it, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. We have a couple slots that we can fill because other people have been very generous to provide that. So send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. I don't want that to be the reason why you don't come. Now, the theme of our camp meeting really makes me happy. The theme of our camp meeting is Just One More Soul, which comes from a song by Greater Vision. Marie Comfort over in Tampa, just about once a week, she'll send me ideas for songs. And this is a song that she probably sent me close to a year ago, called Just One More Soul. And that's the theme of our camp meeting this weekend. Just One More Soul.
The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire, and some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. And singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul we're to walk down the aisle.
Amen. Amen.
It's still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just
Man, oh man, Just One More Soul. I don't know about you, but that song charges me up every time. We did an article on Friday, today's Sunday. The days kind of all run together sometimes for me. But we did an article on Friday. The Lord has opened up a window of opportunity for us to get Bibles into the women's shelter in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this opportunity came to us from Scott and Danielle Pentagraph, who live in North Carolina. And they got a burden to get Bibles to these women who are at the shelter. And he contacted me a number of weeks ago and said, can you help us get Bibles into the shelter here in Raleigh, North Carolina? His wife is the president of an organization called the Order of the Daughters of the King, and they're a evangelistic outreach organization. And so I said, absolutely, we would be thrilled to supply Bibles. And on Friday, they took those five cases of Bibles that we were able to send them, and they gave them out to the women at the shelter. And Scott told me, he sent me a message through Instagram, and he said that he was so overwhelmed at seeing the reaction on the faces of the women who were receiving the Bibles. He said he was so overwhelmed that he just simply had to go into his car, and he said that he wept. And the reason why he was so overwhelmed is because when you see the looks on somebody's face, when you put a King James Bible into their hand and they can't afford it, and you made it possible for them to have it, and they understand what it is. There were a lot of people shedding tears on Friday, me included. And when you support our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, this is what happens. And we're able, the Lord is opening so many doors for us. We are in talks right now with the Wounded Warrior people about supplying King James Bibles for the Wounded Warriors. Their headquarters is here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I've been talking to a representative at Wounded Warriors about supplying Ruckman Reference Study Bibles to any wounded warrior that wants one. And if that door opens up, you're going to be talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of King James Study Bibles going out to America's wounded veterans. And those of you that know me, you know that I am the son of a World War II veteran. All my street preachers are Marines and Air Force and Navy. They're all military. And so I have a special heart to get our free Bible and Gospel Tract program into the Wounded Warriors. So would you pray about that? Would you pray that God would open that door to the Wounded Warriors, that we can get the King James Bibles to the men and women of the military who really need one? And what a thrill it would be to give them the King James Study Bible. And of course, that's going to be a fairly expensive process. But keep the whole thing in your prayers. And I would love to see that door open up for us. I will know more about that tomorrow, and I'll keep you updated. All right, it is time for us to go into our prayer time. I have a letter here from Lisa Brown. Just a short little letter. She wrote in big letters on a white piece of paper, "Thank you for feeding me the word and truth. May God bless you and keep you." She says, "Love, Lisa Brown. P.S. Until we meet very soon to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And of course, Lisa's talking about Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. Amen. That's the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I have another letter here. Just got this yesterday from Catherine B. from Queensbury, New York. Catherine writes, I have been blessed by NTEB for about 4 years now. Amen. I love keeping pace with end times prophecy because the Lord used prophecy to draw me to him. I was saved out of Roman Catholicism like you, taught in the Catholic schools from K through 12. Amen. And Catherine says, I am forever grateful for the free gift of salvation through his shed blood. Then she goes on to say that for the past 15 years, she has been battling cardiovascular disease. And I won't go into the whole thing. I don't know if she would want me to read all of that. But she has been hospitalized. She's had a heart attack. She's had cancer. She's had COVID. We're going to put her on the prayer list today. And she said that when things would just get too much for me, the Lord would just stop all the issues and pull those things back. But she said at the end of 2020 and 2021, things just got worse. And so Catherine has been struggling with her health. And then she says this, and this is why I'm reading the letter. I cannot begin to tell you how much Now the End Begins has blessed me. Since COVID hit and since I don't have the strength that I did a few years ago, I don't get to go to a church on a regular basis. Of course, I have Christian friends I can fellowship and pray with, but I have come to regard you and NTEB as a church fellowship as well. And I always say, Catherine, we are not a church, we are the church. And we absolutely have church fellowship, there is no doubt about it. And Catherine says, the more time, she said, I spend more time with you listening to the evening studies in the archives and the noon podcasts while I'm having dialysis. I listen every night while I'm in bed. You taught me so much about the Bible. And I've been going to Bible studies for 40 years. That's a huge compliment. Thank you. And Catherine closes her letter by saying, I could go on, but I'll close now. I pray for you and your staff. Please take care of yourself. We all need you, and Jesus has much work for you to do. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. May he make his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. That's what Anna Duffy Shank used to tell me all the time before she went home to glory. I wonder if you were hit by cardiovascular disease and a heart attack and cancer and COVID and all these other things, would you still have this great testimony that Catherine B. has? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. So we're going to pray for Catherine B. today. In fact, we're going to go over the whole prayer list right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here today. I'm truly grateful, God, for this fellowship. I'm grateful for this ministry. It's your ministry, God, and I am so glad for the fellowship that we have here. We're praying for lost souls today. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carriers and their families, Jordan. We're praying for John, Jimmy, and David, my three brothers. We're praying for Jesse and his mom to get saved. We're praying for Rachel's dad, Ralph. We're praying for unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family. Colby Bohan needs to get saved. Jordan Shapiro needs to get saved. David Peck for salvation. Susan Weirs Bickey is praying for her daughters, Valerie and Marie, and son and husband, both named Greg. K- Kentucky Jeffrey, salvation for Tyler Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin asking prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle for salvation. Connie has three kids that need to get saved. Joshua Gaskins and wife April, salvation prayers for Stephanie and Michael and for Uncle Steve. Brandy is asking for prayers for her family's salvation. Over in Colorado, Rita is praying for Dan to get saved. Ron needs to get saved. Spray of Sunshine is praying for Daniel, Patrick, and Brian, her three sons. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to be saved. Rick Dotson needs to be saved. Another man by the name of Ron needs to get saved. And Ron, if you're listening, you need to get saved. Jan Lacker, salvation for son David. Barbara, salvation for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Shondell. Nicole Zimmer is praying for salvation for her best friend and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, salvation for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for salvation for children Jason and Tiffany and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara, salvation for son Jody. Mark Sherlock, salvation for four-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes, salvation for friends Bob and Abby who are into paganism, and Gaia. Nancy is praying for Brandon and Michelle. Jill is asking for salvation for her husband Jerome and son and daughter. Kathy Hughes' son for salvation. Haley C., she has a friend named Zane, Jehovah's Witness. He needs to get saved. Lulu is asking for prayers for unsaved family members. Anetta needs to get saved. She also needs to get healed. She had a hemorrhagic stroke on Thursday. She almost died. She's a good, good, good friend of mine. Please keep Anetta in your prayers that God would heal her 100% and that God would save her. She might even be saved already. I've spent a lot of time talking about God and Jesus and the Bible with her. She loves the Lord. There's no doubt about that. But just please keep my friend Anetta in your prayers. She needs them very, very heavily today. Miles and his family need to get saved. The Giacomino family. Dennis has been going through proton beam therapy for prostate cancer. Please keep that in your prayers, but I hear it's going well. And they're asking for salvation for their children, siblings, and grandchildren. Dawn D., salvation prayers for David. He's a Catholic, but he's waking up. Paul Caulfield, salvation for his father, Fred, and sister, Susan, and Peggy's brother, Frank. Karen F. in Alabama, prayers for salvation and healing from cancer. Ramona Hayes, she needs prayer for her daughter, Kimberly, for salvation and deliverance from alcoholism. Also, salvation prayers for grandchildren William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Amen. Patrick, salvation prayers for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B., salvation for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Suzanne Wood would like salvation prayers for her neighbors, friends, family, and clients. Adam would like salvation prayers for his wife, Shayna. Lori B. needs to get saved. Shira McPherson, pray for my son Scott for salvation and my daughter Nicole, who is backslidden. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, he needs to get saved. Cheryl and Mark Fennell need to get saved. Kevin Thompson is asking for salvation prayers for his father, his sister's husband, co-workers. A lot of people around Kevin Thompson need to get saved. Steve Graves needs to get saved. Elga, salvation. Please pray that the people that we sent those 12,000 Bibles to in Poland, those 12,000 Ukrainian New Testaments, please pray that many would get saved. Rob is asking for salvation prayers for his kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Hollywood actor and my former coworker, Matt Dillon, he needs to get saved. Phyllis T. asking for salvation prayers for her husband. Summer Robbins over in Tampa, she's praying for her dad, retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, a U.S. Navy SEAL. He needs to get saved. Man, I really want to get some King James Bibles into the Wounded Warrior program. I really do. Todd's brother, Thad, for salvation. Marie's friends and family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie are asking salvation prayers for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Both families have strong occultic ties in Roman Catholicism, which is basically the same thing. Gary Tatterson is asking for salvation prayers for his parents, his brother, Jeff, and cousin. Joe Ruscello is asking for salvation prayers for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen would like salvation prayers for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace says, please pray that Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, Jason, and Carrie would get saved. Lola's son, William, and his wife, Lindsay, need to get saved. Hannah's mom needs to get saved. Bruce Bridges, praying for his two exchange students, Elena from Italy and Milena from Spain. Anja, asking salvation prayers for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans, Water Dog, is asking salvation prayers for his friend Taylor, an atheist. Viviana is asking for salvation prayers for her brother Javier Reyes. My childhood friend Scott Thaler needs to get saved. Joshua Gaskins, salvation prayer for Wyman Guthrie and his wife. Nearly 100 people on the salvation list. Please pray for Miss Kathy. Her sister-in-law, Andrea, is battling COVID and has COPD. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Chuck Price, he says, please pray for a brother who is dying of cancer that the Lord would give him a testimony with the time he has left. Dawn Martin, best friend's stepbrother, Toby, has a brain aneurysm. He's in a coma. Please pray that he gets out of the coma and gets saved. Cody Baker's dad has leukemia. Suzanne would like prayers for her friend Rich's daughter who was in her 20s and is in cancer hospice. Karen from Alabama is an unsaved Catholic with lymph node cancer. She needs prayer for salvation and healing. Catherine B., chronically ill with kidney failure and on dialysis. And I read that great letter from Catherine just a few minutes ago. Please keep Catherine B. in your prayers. Pam is battling glaucoma, needs prayer. Patty's husband, Jerry, has cancer and needs prayer. He's experiencing some serious health issues. Please put Jerry Rogalski at the top of your list. The top of our list is a crowded place these days. Man, we really need the Lord to do something here. Man. Help us, Lord. Help us. Whew. Katrina, a 25-year-old wife and mother. Metastatic. I'm sorry. Oh. Lord, just help us today. Help us today, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. Sometimes this list is overwhelming. Katrina, a 25-year-old wife and mother, has been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. Tom is a 53-year-old man with spina bifida. He's been on a tracheostomy tube for 6 years. And he just wants it to come out so he can get back to church. Pray for Tom. Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug, prostate cancer. Penny LaSalle's mother Linda is being put into, she's in hospice care. Please pray for Penny, her mom Linda, and whatever family drama that there may be there, that God would just get a hold of that. Patty D's son is battling pornography. Please pray for my son, Calvin, that God would get a hold of his heart. Pray for my daughter, Megan, as she is contemplating going into full-time Christian ministry. And pray for my daughter, Kelsey, as she continues to serve. And she just had her one-year anniversary, her one-year wedding anniversary. And God gave her a great husband, gave me a great son-in-law. Pray for my three kids, if you would. Kathy Giacomino, please pray that these family members who are saved would get on fire for God. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Daniel and Charlene is asking that a financial burden be taken off of them. Joshua Gaskin's co-worker's 14-year-old daughter, battling depression and suicidal thoughts. I hear so much of that today. My childhood friend Greg Kellogg, kidney and heart problems. He needs your prayers. Ryan is asking for prayers for his brother Brennan. He's saved and sober, but he's battling that addiction. Pray for Tony Barcina. He got saved last month, and he is still trying to adjust to sober living. And let me tell you something, it is a hard thing to do. And if you battle with the bottle, don't stop fighting, don't stop. Don't listen to critical, judgmental people who say that if you battle with the bottle, then you're not saved. That's nonsense. Getting sober is your sanctification. Has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation happens immediately. Sanctification you have to work at with the sweat of your brow. Why do you think you get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ? Think about it. It's hard work. And if you're one of those people that you're battling alcohol and you're saved and you say, when is this fight ever going to stop? Well, it doesn't stop, but it does get better. I haven't had a drink in years, but that next drink is just right around the corner if I make a couple of bad decisions. Make better decisions. Don't go around the corner. You don't have to drink, and you can win the battle. You just got to really want it. And that's all part of what we're going to be talking about today with importunity in your prayers. Ryan is asking for prayers for his brother. Oh, we prayed for Brennan. Lulu's daughter Linda needs your prayers. She has some health issues and she started a new job. Joe Ruscello, please pray for his wife and her walk with the Lord. Jackie H. needs the Lord's intervention in a matter with her son. Patty Dickerson is asking prayers that she'd be able to keep her driver's license. Mary Jane is praying for her sister, Rianne, who has believed the lie of the transgender. Please pray that God would get a hold of that. Derek O'Reilly in Dublin is asking for prayers that God would have mercy on him and his mother, Patricia, to help keep their faith strong. Marie Comfort's friend, Cora, needs prayers for healing. Danielle and Charlene Spears need prayers for God's will to deliver them from a long and ongoing financial hardship. Donna Rogers praying for health and spiritual attacks. Gail Burge, she has a daughter with an eating disorder and her weight is getting dangerously low. Jeanette from Wisconsin needs prayers for medical issues. Alicia Smith would like prayers for health-related issues. Char is asking prayers for stepson who has a form of epilepsy. And she says prayers for healing and to direct the doctors for answers. and also prayers for his mother to be comforted and saved. Chelsea B. is asking prayers that God would help her to sell her house. Donna Lynn asking prayers for her friend Dean, who has anxiety attacks. Susan Smith is asking prayers that God would give direction on where to move. And Catherine B., we got her on the list twice, but that's okay. Catherine B., prayers for health and healing. People with an unspoken. Elizabeth, Chelsea, Little Toe, Rachel, Katie, Carol, Rachel Adams, Joyce, and Lorianne. Please pray for Lorianne. She is making some rather large life-changing decisions. And please pray that God would continue to lead and guide her path. But suffice to say, she's going through a time of great change. And it's exciting. So keep Lorianne in your prayers. Remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines. Pastors John Reed, Danny, and Arnell. Lou Ann in Turkey. Pastor Fojon in Vietnam. Please pray for our free Bible and gospel track program. We need people to pray for this program. We need people to donate to this program. Kentucky Jeffrey. Kyle. Joshua Gaskins. Street Preachers. Werner Bukes. Paul and Peggy Caulfield. Adrian Brina. Greg Scott, Jeffrey Saposinek, Street Preachers in Canada. Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson, Street Preachers in Australia. Joseph Russiello, Street Preaching Ministry in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. And he was just he just went to the bookstore the other day and bought another case of Bibles. Please pray that the Lord would bless his efforts. Tara Brown has a praise report. After experiencing quite a trial, their family will be moving into a new home. And they also have found a grace-believing church and are making new friends. All right, that's the list. Let's go to the requests from the chat room. Street Preacher Marie says, interesting. The baby adult cat was my mom's cat, went to the bathroom right after you prayed. Amen. I'll take that as a win. But just please pray that nothing would stop Marie, Street Preacher Marie, from coming to the camp meeting. She loves, loves, loves street ministry. You know, people have told me a woman can't be a street preacher. Well, you show me that from the Bible, and I'll show you some people who ministered with the Apostle Paul, who ministered the gospel. Women can absolutely minister on the streets. But just pray that nothing would hinder Marie from coming down here. Let's see what else we got here. I know there's a lot. Oh, yeah, there's a lot more. Natalie says, please pray for my husband, Ken. Tested positive yesterday for COVID. Has an ER appointment this morning, hit him pretty hard, and a hedge of protection for myself and two daughters. Thank you, and I love you, to the fight. And so pray for Natalie's husband, Ken. People say that COVID is not real. Well, tell that to the people that I know that have had it. Tell that to the people that I know that have died from it. We may be able to have a good conversation about what COVID is, but to say that COVID is not real, well, that's just crazy talk. So pray for Ken, please. Gary, please pray for my mom. She went to the ER with some bleeding issues. Sky, good morning, everybody. Please pray for a financial situation. Shaycaster, I have a praise report. He says, I need cataract surgery as I can hardly see. I went in for an appointment and found that I'll be 65 and able to use Medicaid. And then they told me I am a charity-labeled patient and an eye doctor has forgiven any bill I will accrue. Shea Castor says, I am in awe. Thank you, Lord. That's huge, brother. That's huge. And we rejoice with you. Jacoby Butterfield, praise report. I just want to say thank you to Jeff and the NTEB family. I have gotten more on fire for the Lord and have been trying to reach lost souls. Please pray that one more soul comes to him. All glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Jay Kitty, I'm still looking for a caregiver, so please keep Jeanette in your prayers. Jill says, prayer request, I'm going to the camp meeting, leaving my parents' home that my son and I just arrived to last week. Pray for my son's health and spirit while I'm away, and for my elderly parents and their health and strength. And I praise God that he has provided for me to go to the camp meeting. Can't wait to meet my brothers and sisters. Amen. 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 Glad you're coming. Jason Mark, please pray that I can get enough money to be able to get a hotel for the camp meeting. I've had a ticket since they become available. Jason, send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com. Like I said earlier, we have a little bit of a fund that has been provided for by other brothers and sisters, and we can help you get a room. So Jason, Mark, please email me, info@nowtheendbegins.com. Guest Eminem, please pray for Stephen and Stephen and Stephanie, who are battling infertility. And it's a prayer that God would open up the womb. Amen. Roger, Rojo Def, please pray for my neighbors Brent and Dawn, who are battling COVID since Monday. Timothy, praise report, medication change resulted in much needed heart improvement, and for now a holding pattern, operation unnecessary at present. Thank you, Jesus. That's a big one. Amen. Nihal Pereira, writing to us from Sri Lanka. We have listeners all over the world, and we praise God for that. Nihal says, please pray for God's wisdom for the people and for the leaders of Sri Lanka. Charlton says, prayer request, I'm running flat out every day. Need wisdom and guidance to stay on track. Amen. Freddie, unspoken prayers for my mother and mother-in-law. Charlton, keep Dennis in your prayers, please. Julia, my mom has a leaky heart valve. Please pray. Shannon Krupp, prayers of grace, strength, boldness for all the brethren around the world, for fruit at the judgment seat. Amen. Christ Believer, please pray for Kennedy and Aiden for their loss. Shannon says, please pray for me and the entire NTEB ministry team. Amen. Shannon says, prayers of salvation for the lost souls that receive the tracts. They see the gospel articles. They see the billboards. And prayers for the Christians who also see these, that they are encouraged and hear the call to the fight. Amen. I think we need some to the fight billboards. Okay, that's good. His Grace says, please pray for my wife, Betsy, my wife's pen pal for over 40 years. Andriana is in her last days with cancer. Please pray for the peace of Christ beyond her husband and daughter. They are all saved. Adriana is focused on her reward with Christ Jesus. Amen. Carl for God says, my childhood friend, Sam Applebaum, needs to get saved. And Jill, Lord, my sons, Kenny and Matthew, need to get saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, our prayer list is filled to overflowing. It took 34 minutes to go through all the names and all the requests. Lord, you hear all, you know the names. And it's my prayer, God, that the people listening, even the people listening in the archives, won't just simply fast forward through the prayer time, but they would actually stop and pray. And I have actually, since I said this last time, a number of you have written to me to say, hey, I'm one of those people. I listen in the archives and I pray. And that really means a lot to me. But it means so much more to the people that you're praying for. It really does. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you would get Annetta out of the bed. You would give her movement on her left side. You would take away that paralysis. You would heal her brain from the stroke. And if she's not saved, that you would save her soul. But heal my friend Annetta, Lord. Get her out of that bed. And Lord, we just pray for everybody this morning on the list. We just pray that you would work and move as only you can, that you would heal that which needs to be healed. You would restore that which needs restoration. You would remove burdens like finances, that you would break chains like drug and alcohol addiction, that you would just do it all, God, that you would just get into this thing and work and move for your glory and for our good. And Lord, we commit this time to you. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. And just thank you, God, and praise you. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. One quick song. I got to catch my breath. And then we're going to go right into today's message. How importunity can give you power to get your prayers through with the Lord.
And go.
Amen. Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach your word this morning, Lord. Give me power. Speak through me, God. Take me out of the way. And Lord, give the people what they came for. They came for you, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Another thing that I need you to keep in prayer is that the bookstore and the ministry, we are going through another growth spurt, and we have some growing pains. Please pray that God would give me wisdom to know what to do and the right decisions to make. One of the things that I'm praying about that God has not only put on my heart, but has also put on the heart of the people that I counsel with, it's quite possible that we could be looking at a NTEB Bible Baptist Church. And I am not saying that that's absolutely what the Lord wants, but things seem to be going in that direction. Now, I would never stop the online part of the ministry. I would incorporate the two. Absolutely. So you would never have to worry about that. But please just pray that God would give me wisdom, that God would give me wisdom as this ministry begins to grow into the next level, whatever that's going to be, whatever the Lord wants that to be. If the Lord wants it to be a brick and mortar church, then that's fine with me. If he doesn't, that's fine with me too. But it appears to be going in that direction. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about at the camp meeting. Now the end begins is growing. And I just need wisdom to know what to do. Many of you have said that you would want to move closer. Well, if you mean it, we just may be opening up a church, but please just pray about that, that God would give me wisdom to know what to do. All right, let's just jump right into the message today. Wow, that prayer list, it was overwhelming this morning, in a good way, but in a hard way. And, you know, every time that we pray for people, every time that a lot of you call me, you write me letters, you're asking for some counsel from the Bible or some wisdom from the Lord. And it thrills me every single time that you would want to ask me about that, or, and I really do so very much enjoy that side of the ministry. I'm not ordained. I'm not a pastor in any denomination. I've never had counseling training or anything like that, but I so very much enjoy the conversations when you guys reach out to me and you just want some advice from the Bible. But sometimes that prayer list, it just overwhelms me sometimes, and today is one of those days. So please pray for the people on that list. My text for today is in Luke chapter 11. Let's turn there. Turn to Luke chapter 11. And let me just preface this message by saying, I understand about rightly dividing, and I understand about dispensational truth, and every time we do a Bible study, every time we do a podcast, you hear, where is it? Hold on, let me just play it real quick.
Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you.
So every time that we do a Bible study and every time that we do a podcast, I remind people that we rightly divide and we're dispensationally correct. So believe me when I tell you that I understand Luke chapter 11 is not a church age dispensation. But The Bible says that all of Scripture is written for our admonition and for our learning. We don't just take what Paul wrote, we take that as doctrine, but we take the whole Bible to learn stuff from. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Give me power as I preach and teach. Let it be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 11, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, when we open up our Webster's 1828 dictionary, and you can get that at the bookstore, just go to BibleBeliever.com and type in 1828, and you can purchase yourself a beautiful bound hard copy of the Webster's 1828 dictionary with the old-fashioned fonts. But this is how Webster's 1828 defines the word importunity. It is a pressing solicitation, an urgent request. It's an application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency or pertinacity. So, in Luke 11:8, we see that these two people are friends, and they've gone to bed. One friend has been made aware that their other friend is about to come to their house, and he is in a long journey. And the friend who is waiting to receive that friend doesn't have enough food, doesn't have enough bread. So that friend goes to his other friend's house and he knocks on the door and he says, hey man, I sure could use a couple of loaves of bread. And his friend says back, well, it's midnight. I'm sleeping. My kids are sleeping. Don't ask me to get up out of bed to give you what you need. Maybe you didn't prepare properly. Maybe you should have thought about it before midnight. So the one friend, he doesn't want to get out of bed. He's comfortable. He's all snuggled in. He's under the covers. And if you remember when your kids were real small, maybe your kids would jump into bed and sleep with you. And that's just a nice, comforting, secure feeling. And this friend doesn't want to get out of bed. He says in verse 7, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And then Luke 11:8 says, though he will not rise and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will not only rise, but after he rises, he will give him as many loaves of bread as he needs. Now, the very next verse, Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, I understand that this, dispensationally speaking, I understand that this is Kingdom Age doctrine, but I think that what you see is a prayer principle that was present in every dispensation. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Joshua Gaskins was asking about this in the chat room, if I saw it correctly. Daniel chapter 9. What a great prayer that Daniel prays. Daniel 9 verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He's talking about Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. Came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. This is the time of Jacob's trouble historically. The time of Jacob's trouble prophetically is yet to be. And then in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel understands what Jeremiah is talking about, when Daniel understands that they are in Babylon because God is disciplining them, and because that Israel had turned to idolatry, that God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, who was a type of Antichrist, and put them in captivity for 70 years. And Daniel is just now understanding that God had already spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And this is what's happening in verse 2 of Daniel 9. Daniel's having a Bible study, just like what we're going to do tonight. Daniel's having a Bible study and he's reading the scroll of Jeremiah and he's like, wow, now I understand why we're here. Now I understand why God allowed the temple to be destroyed and Nebuchadnezzar to take over. And what was Daniel reading? Daniel was reading Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And then the next verse, which everybody steals, but you can't take it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see how that verse is a promise to the Jewish people? You can't take that. The modern versions say, let me just pull it up, because they really mangle it, totally mangle it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. There's that evil prosperity gospel. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Now, the King James Bible doesn't say anything about prospering you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Peace with God and not of evil. Nebuchadnezzar was evil. To give you an expected end. What is the expected end? Coming back to Israel, rebuilding the temple. That's the expected end. But getting back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Old Testament, right? Well, doesn't this sound a whole lot like 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So Daniel's prayer is echoed very, very strongly in places like 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, places like Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Daniel says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Does that sound like the National Day of Prayer to you? When you have Republicans and Democrats and baby killers and abortionists and transgenders and Buddhists and atheists and earth-worshipping Gaia Wiccans, and you're all going to hold hands and pray for this country? Are you insane? The National Day of Prayer in America is nothing like Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is repenting. He's seeking by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was able to get a prayer through. There's no doubt about it. The Apostle Paul was a great prayer. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that's three times, that it might depart from me. So here's the Apostle Paul. He has what he calls a thorn in his flesh. It's not stopping him, but it's bothering him. And the Apostle Paul is coming before the Lord three times that this thorn in his flesh might be removed. Well, did Paul get his prayer through? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 12:9, here's the answer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, I have this letter from Catherine B., and she says that she was diagnosed with vascular disease 15 years ago. She has over 20 stents in her body. She's on dialysis, heart bypass, vascular bypass, COVID cancer, hospitalized five times, heart attack, COVID. Sounds to me a whole lot like 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, the Apostle Paul got his prayer answered. And God said, hey, Paul, I hear you. But believe me when I tell you that thorn in your flesh is a blessing. And I know that you've asked me 3 times to take it away, but I'm going to keep it there. Because God said to Paul, if you want my power to rest on you, then you're going to need my strength and not your strength. Paul says that God's strength and God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul prayed 3 times. That's importunity. He's repeatedly praying. And the Bible doesn't say what type of prayer that he prayed, but I'm sure Paul was a very fervent, passionate person. I'm quite positive that his prayer was exactly like what the definition of importunity is. A pressing solicitation, an urgent request, application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency or pertinacity. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He besought the Lord. That is a passionate asking. He didn't do it once, he didn't do it twice, he did it 3 times. God heard the prayer, God answered the prayer. And when all was said and done, Paul said this, okay, God, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, what is the therefore? Paul says therefore because he asked God 3 times to take away the thorn. God said, I'm going to leave it right where it is because you need that thorn, Paul. Because if I take away that thorn, your ego is going to be so filled that you're not going to be able to minister properly. And Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, the part about this passage that we did not read is Paul being taken to the third heaven. That's 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 6. We don't have time to read those passages today. It's not really part of my message. But the Apostle Paul was taken to heaven, and he was shown exactly what the Apostle John was shown. But then God told him, no, you can't talk about it, Paul. That's not for you. That would just confuse people. We need to keep it dispensationally correct. I'm going to give it to John. And I'm going to give it to John in about 20 years from now. But Paul saw the same thing that John saw. And he says that unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So you see what I'm talking about? God answered Paul's prayer. Paul prayed 3 times. He besought the Lord. He was passionate. He was fervent. He was persistent. He had a lot of pertinacity. He applied importunity. And God answered his prayer and said, Paul, I'm going to give you exactly what you need. You know, a lot of the times when we pray, I will end the prayer in, God, we pray this for your glory and for our good. Because if God is glorified, and I want you to think about this, if God is glorified in your life, it is going to redound to your goodness. Meaning, if God is glorified in your life, it's going to work out really, really good for you. And that's just a fact. God needs to get the glory. And when you give him the glory, what happens? When you give God the glory, it works out really good for you because everything is in its proper place. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You want peace on this earth? You want goodwill toward men? That only comes after you've given the glory to God in the highest. That is the biblical precedent. Peace and goodwill come after you gave glory to God in the highest. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham, verses 19 through 22. Romans 4, 19 through 22. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. This is the Apostle Paul. This is dispensationally correct. Abraham was called the friend of God because Abraham gave God the glory. He was strong in faith, and he believed that what God said he would do, he would do. Abraham believed that what God said he would do, he would do. You know what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5? Every once in a while, I'll come across somebody who gets saved, and then they go through a season where they doubt their salvation. And every time I come across a brother or sister who doubts their salvation, and I ask them their testimony, and I make sure that they got saved dispensationally correct, Romans chapter 10. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. This is what I tell people who doubt their salvation. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him, God, a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, turn to Romans chapter 10. When I was talking with Tony Barsina last month, and I asked him if he had ever done what Romans chapter 10 tells him to do. And I took him to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Take a look at Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I prayed with Tony, And Tony called upon the name of the Lord. He confessed him as Savior. He believed in his heart that God did raise him from the dead. And after I was done praying with Tony, I said, on the basis of Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13, you're saved. Not because I say that he's saved, but because Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13 said that he's saved. And then when you go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 through 13, has the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know what Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13 is? It is a record. Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13 is a legally binding section of Scripture. It is a contract. And it says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Savior, Paul says, thou shalt be saved. It is a legally binding situation that you enter into. Salvation is not accepting Christ in your heart, or asking him into your heart, or saying the sinner's prayer, or anything like that. Salvation is a legally binding agreement. Your sins for his righteousness. You confess him with your mouth that he is Lord. You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And when you pray that, then you are saved. And John says, if you don't believe that you got saved when you did that, then you're calling God a liar. Because that's the record that God gave. So, everything that we're talking about today, and I realize that we're going to a whole lot of different scriptures, and it's really more like a Bible study than a sermon. But are you starting to see what I'm talking about? Real prayer with God in any dispensation, real prayer with God contains importunity. And when you pray something that means a lot to you, you get God's attention. When you come before the Lord and say, Lord, you've got to do this thing however you want to do it. And again, God is not our servant. We are his servants. And when I pray, I've learned over the years to leave the results in his hands. Sometimes I'll get a burden about something, and I'll keep coming before the Lord and keep reminding him that he needs to get this thing done. You know, the Bible says this in Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. That is importunity. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's going to happen Revelation 19. That's going to happen at the second coming during the millennium. But until that point, if you're one of those people that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. If you consider yourself one of the watchmen upon the walls, don't hold your peace day or night. And when you pray, Isaiah 62:7, and give God no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. When's the last time that you prayed for something like that? When's the last time that you got a burden for something like that? You know, when my friend Annetta had her stroke last week, she was actually having a phone conversation with me while driving at 70 miles an hour on an interstate highway. And she began to slur her speech, and her mind began to get fuzzy. And I'm having a conversation with her. This is happening in real time. And I just start saying to God, Lord, help her, help her, help. Help her, help her. What type of prayer is that? It's only two words. And I couldn't even say it out loud because I'm trying to talk her through what's happening. And her voice got fuzzier and fuzzier, and her brain got fuzzier and fuzzier. And I'm like, pull off. And all the while that this is going on, I'm just saying in my head, Lord, help her, help her, help her, help her. I didn't have any other prayer than that. And that's the only prayer that I could pray while I'm still having the conversation with her. And God answered that prayer. And God guided her and got her to a place where she could safely pull over. And I alerted her coworkers and her boss to where she was going to be stopping, and they met her there. And they called an ambulance, and they put her in the ambulance, and they brought her to the helicopter, and they brought her to a specialty hospital which deals with brain injury. And when I got off the phone with tears in my eyes, I bowed my knees, I bowed my head, I raised my hands towards heaven, and I shouted, no! Don't let her die like that, Lord. I don't know if she's saved. And I just prayed, no! Now, if you think about it, my main prayer for one of my closest friends who's having a stroke, help her, and no, meaning don't let it end like this. Three words. That was my prayer. But I'll tell you something. That was just about as passionately as I've ever prayed. And during the day and during the night and the next day and the day after, I kept reminding the Lord to do something for my friend. And when you pray prayers like that, when you have the greatest need, those are usually the prayers with the fewest words. And you're praying with importunity. And you're praying and asking God to step in and do something and fix something. And so many of the people that we have on our prayer list right now are people that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. If God doesn't step in and change something, then it's just going to wind up to its natural conclusion. But I believe that prayer changes everything. But when you pray, I have found it to work out the best when you leave the results in God's hands. And over the years, especially over the last 2 years, I almost never ask for a specific conclusion other than, God, you step in, you fix it, you do it, please help that person, or help me, or whatever the prayer is. And I say, God, you've already seen the end of it. Do you realize that? Do you realize that when you pray and you are starting to ask God to intervene in an unfolding situation that's happening in real time, God is up there. He's already seen how it ends. He's already seen it, but you haven't. And so doesn't it make sense that if you're going to pray to God about any particular situation, knowing that God has already watched that situation come to an end, doesn't it make sense to say, God, why don't you just step in and do something, Lord, for your glory and for our good? If you could just step in and fix that situation any way you want to fix it. You know what that takes? That takes trust. That takes a lot of trust. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is David's prayer. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? That's a really good question. David says before God, Who am I? Well, the non-spoken answer is, I'm nobody. That's the right answer to that question. Who am I, O Lord God? Verse 20. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. David saying, what more can I tell you, God? You know me. You know my situation. You know everything. But does that stop David from talking? No. David is simply acknowledging in verse 20, that God, he already knows, he's already seen it, he's already watched it come to an end. And look at verse 21, 2 Samuel 7, 21. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore, verse 22, thou art great, O God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. And then look down in verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. And do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified. Didn't the Gospel of Luke say, glory to God in the highest, and then peace on earth, goodwill toward men? David says the same thing. Verse 26, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established forever. And then verse 27, underline it, write it down, mark it down. The very first time that the word prayer is ever seen in the King James Bible. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, he comes to the end of his prayer, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, and that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Now, are you starting to see a pattern? Old Testament, New Testament, Kingdom Age, Church Age. Are you starting to see the biblical pattern of prayer? It should be fervent prayer. It should be often prayer. And it should be the type of prayer that gives God the glory. And you ask God to do it according to His will for you. For His glory and for your good. And then you leave the outcome in His hands. And what I've found over the years is that when God answers a fervent prayer that you have, that I have, He oftentimes will answer it much more abundantly than what was originally in my head to ask in the first place. And when you leave the results in His hands, you get a much better result than by specifically saying, do this, do that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There is that glory again. When you pray, God is able to answer that prayer exceeding abundantly above anything that was originally in your mind to ask or think or pray. Give Him the glory and ask it to be for your good. And whatever it is that He's going to answer that prayer with, it's going to be in a way that's going to be far above anything that you could have asked or thought. Heaven is going to be so much more wonderful than even on your best days, your most explicit fantasy of what heaven would be like wouldn't even touch 1/100 of 1% of the magnificence of what heaven is actually going to be. Leave the results in His hands. Be fervent with your prayer. Give God the glory. And when He answers, it will absolutely be for your abundant good. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. Lord, your word is amazing. And it is so astonishing to see in every dispensation what happens when mere men give You the glory and acknowledge You as Lord and Savior and come before You and ask You to do for them, for us, that which we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we are Your servants, but we're also Your children. And we just ask You, Lord, to work and move, and all the prayers that we prayed today and all the urgent needs that we put up before You and the praise reports, receive them, Father God, and answer according to Your own glory and answer for our good, Lord, and we'll just thank You and praise You. We'll praise You no matter what You do, Father God. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Lord, give us grace, give us strength, give us power to get something done for You while we still can. And for all these prayers that we prayed today, Lord, so many urgent prayers, please work and move and heal. Just step into this mess and do something, God. And we'll praise You, God, every step of the way. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glad you were with us this morning. I hope that this will help you in your prayer life. Give Him the glory. Put the results in His hands. Let Him work and move. And when it's all said and done, God will answer your prayers in ways that are perfect for him, perfect for you. And there'll be blessings from start to finish. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our NTEB, Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon his name, he reached out his nail-pierced hands, and he lifted you out. So remember where you were back.
Say.